mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Dr. Richard Kammerer was a homiletics prof here at the seminary years and years ago. In fact, he wrote the book, Preaching for the Church. It was the definitive homiletics textbook for generations of LCMS pastors. But he always liked to claim that he was just an old country preacher. As a seminary student, I really didn't comprehend what he was saying at the time. I thought, yeah, right. This professor, this well-known author, just a country preacher, that wasn't what I had in mind for ministry. I was a suburban kid. I grew up in North St. Louis County. I did my vicarage in a suburb right outside New York City, and so I always figured that I was going to be a hipster, polyester, suburban kind of preacher. Instead, I received my first call to Ironton, Iowa, a town of 550 people in Sioux County, Iowa, where they claim to raise more corn-fed hogs and cattle than any other county in the United States. I went through kind of a culture shock. I didn't understand this way of life. I didn't understand the language that they spoke. It was agriculture. But I preached my first sermon there on July the 4th, 1976. You don't need to do the math. It was 43 years ago tomorrow. I am now officially an old guy. But I fell in love with rural life and small town ministry. We spent 11 years in that little town, and I loved those people and enjoyed ministry there like you couldn't even imagine, because those people taught me how to be just an old country preacher. They taught me an appreciation for today's text. You see, it was July, and it was hot, but it was unusually hot and extremely dry. And after just a few weeks in that town, farmers were coming to me begging that I would have prayers in church for rain. I didn't understand that this was a severe drought that was coming upon them. The crops were literally dying out in the fields. And this was going to have a huge impact, not just on the fact that they were going to lose a year's income, but they would go deeper into debt, and many of them were going to lose their farms because of this. Every business on the little main street, every family, the school, the churches were all going to be impacted. It was a tragedy. But in late September, early October, when the harvest season usually came, even though there was next to nothing out there in the fields, every man, woman, and child got busy. Everything in town seemed to change. They were working from before sun to well after dark. There was an urgency about everything that they were doing, lest that precious crop would be lost. Urgency at harvest time. It's go, go, go. In our text today, we hear Jesus saying, go. He began to expand his mission. And he called the 72 and he said to them, go and say to people, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, this was the message that Jesus preached throughout his ministry from the very beginning, his very first sermon in the town of Nazareth. His text was Isaiah 61. You remember how he read it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down, because that's how preachers did it in those days. And he made the application. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. God had kept his promise. He had sent his only son. The kingdom of God had come. Now the Savior of the world was standing right in front of them. And they rejected his message. And so he told them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And so he preached, and he healed, and he drove out demons, and he embraced the outcast, and he raised the dead, and in time he himself would die a horrible death on the cross for the sins of the world. And he would rise again on the third day, conquering death and the grave once for all. Now, in last week's gospel lesson from Luke chapter 9, we hear that Jesus called 12 to follow him. And he sent them out saying that they were to proclaim the kingdom of God and they were to heal. And they went through all of the villages and all of the towns proclaiming good news and pointing people to Jesus. This coming Sunday's gospel is from the very next chapter, from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus expanded his mission once again. This time he called 72 others and sent them ahead of him to every town and village where he himself was about to go. But before they went, he wanted them to see what every country preacher needs to see: the harvest. Jesus said to them, the harvest is plentiful. Maybe he was walking through the fields at the time and said, look guys, the harvest is plentiful. But he wasn't talking about corn and soybeans. He was talking about people. Hurting people. Frightened people. Lonely people. Struggling people. Misguided people. Sinful people. Self-righteous people. Grieving people. Dying people. He sees them all. And then you sense the urgency in his message. The workers are few, he lamented. There just didn't seem to be enough manpower to gather this precious harvest in. And so he instructed them to pray before they went out, to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into his harvest field. Pray. But be careful what you pray for, because I think you already know what the answer was going to be. Go, he said, I'm sending you. Go, and behold, there's a little Greek word, those of you who are studying Greek will come upon it, it's the word idu. It's kind of like an exclamation point. It's saying, pay attention. This is really something important. Behold, I am sending you. You, brothers and sisters, are the answer to the prayers of the church today. The Lord is sending you. Not just in your vocation as a seminary student, not just because you're a future pastor or deaconess, but in all of your vocations every day. As a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, a spouse, as a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, go, he says, I'm sending you. Essentially on the very same mission he sent all of them. He sends you out with the very same instructions. Don't be afraid. Even though you're going out into hostile territory, into a post-Christian, anti-Christian culture, like lambs in the midst of wolves today, don't get weighed down with all kinds of excess baggage. It might slow you down or cause you to stumble. Don't get sidetracked with all kinds of idle talk or unimportant details or theological jargon. Don't get discouraged in this work. Of course, there are some people who aren't going to want to hear what you have to say. They didn't want to listen to Jesus. Why should they listen to you? And so they may become hostile. Don't let them intimidate you. Jesus said, knock the dust off and go. Keep going. The harvest. See, the harvest. It's all about the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. It's out there waiting. Behold, it do. Pay attention. This is important. The kingdom of God is near to you today. Near to you, here for you, in the word which is proclaimed. Near to you, here for you today, in bread and wine, the very body and blood of your Lord and Savior, given and shed for you. Here is the grace of God for you. Here is forgiveness of all your sins. Here is salvation because Jesus is here for you. Now go and behold the harvest. See the people all around you as Jesus sees them. Hear the urgency in his command. Go, he says, just keep going to all those places where he himself is about to go. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Say to them that his power, his grace, his forgiveness, his life, his salvation is near to you. It's here for you because Jesus is here. You may be surprised. Surprised by the wonderful things that the Lord will be doing through you in the ministry to which he calls you. Hurting people will be comforted. Troubled people will find peace. The weak will be strengthened. The guilty will be forgiven. The sorrowing will be comforted. The dying will have hope. The kingdom of God will be near. You may be surprised at what the Lord does through your ministry. But he won't be. Now, when the 72 returned with joy at the success of their ministry, Jesus looked at them and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Yes, your ministry has been that successful. Don't be surprised by that. But here's what to be surprised about. Be surprised that your names are written in heaven. Your names in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done to establish his kingdom. That's the cause for joy today. It's not about what you have done or what you will do or what you can do for the sake of the kingdom. It's not about the success of the mission on which he sends you, nor the size or the location of the ministry in which you'll serve. But when your mission is finished and you return to the Lord, he will welcome you with open arms and the kingdom will be yours. And that's the real surprise. So go, he says to you today. I'm sending you. I'm sending you into harvest fields to be just another old country preacher. Focus on the harvest. Be surprised by the power and the grace of God. For the truth is, the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.